When it comes to Palm Sunday and the parade and the cloaks and the branches spread all over the road, when it comes to what the tradition labels the triumphal entry, when it comes to Jesus heading into Jerusalem down that Mount of Olives with the disciples doing what they were told, and the crowds going ahead and following with such a shout out, and the city all shook up. When it comes to Hosanna, to the Son of David, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. When it comes to Palm Sunday, if you stop and think about it all for just a moment, when it comes to Palm Sunday, Jesus was headed to Jerusalem the whole time, the whole gospel. The procession started back in chapter 1, not 21. The entire narrative that tells of the life of Jesus, it is one long triumphal entry. Jesus drawing near to the city of Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. It's more than a day. You remember King Herod's reaction after hearing the news of the birth of the child Jesus, after he heard of the wise men who had come from the east. Matthew tells the reader not only that Herod was frightened, but that the king and all Jerusalem with him was frightened. There at the birth of Jesus, Matthew invites the reader to turn and take a look toward the city. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for all that temptation, Matthew describes how the devil took Jesus to the holy city and set him up there on the rooftop above the temple. The holy city was Jerusalem. And there on that rooftop, Matthew assumes that Jesus and the devil and the reader all have a chance to look out over Jerusalem. Three different times, Jesus flat out tells the disciples that he's going to be betrayed and that he would suffer and die. Two out of the three of those passion predictions in Matthew include reference to Jerusalem. Jesus tells them that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. The disciples, they never seem to quite catch on, but in telling them repeatedly, Jesus is motioning to the gospel reader, the implied audience. Jesus is motioning to the church, telling them to look to Jerusalem. When they had come near to Jerusalem, is how the familiar reading begins there at the start of chapter 21, the gospel reading for Palm Sunday. When they had come near to Jerusalem, but Matthew's tuned in listeners, the careful readers, those who have been here before with palm branches in hand ready to sing Hosanna, the audience constructed and shaped by Matthew's gospel ought to be already leaning forward and stretching to see. Stretching to see not just the donkey or the colt or the procession that's about to pass by, but stretching to see all the way to Jerusalem as it now comes into view there at the end of the parade route. Because Jesus has been heading that way for quite a while now. In the current issue of the Christian Century, Frederick Buechner tells of a Christmas pageant in an Episcopal church somewhere. The manger scene was blocked out in the front of the church, as you could imagine. And the rector had been reading various parts of the nativity story as the congregation chimed in every now and then with a few familiar Christmas hymns. And everything was going along just as planned until the point when the heavenly host was supposed to arrive and sing "Glory to God in the highest." The children of the congregation were to be the heavenly host. And they all just happened to be dressed in white flowing robes and strategically sitting with their parents in the congregation to come forward just at the right moment to launch into the songs of angels. Unfortunately, there were far too many of them, the heavenly host. And as Buechner described it, a fair amount of crowding and jockeying for position went on. And one angel, a little girl, found herself bumped too far out on the fringe. And she couldn't see what was going on, even if she stood on tippy toes and turned her neck, no matter how far she stretched. Just as the heavenly host finished their joyful acclamation, and before the rector set about continuing to read the gospel, right in that quiet moment, the girl from the fringe had had enough of being too far away. She had had enough of all the rest of the angels and the fluff of everyone else's costumes. And she cried out in her own frustration with a blocked view. And she said, "Hey, let Jesus show." Christmas pageant, Palm Sunday parade, not so different. I've been singing "All Glory, Laud, and Honor" for 40 years. Since I was 4 or 5 years old, when I walked down the aisle in my choir robe, complete with a white surplus ironed fresh that morning and a branch in my hand, trying to poke Randy McCombs in the back of the head while the choir moms wouldn't see. Palm branches, hosannas, variations on procession, with certain signs of spring in the air. There's a pageantry to Palm Sunday, just like Christmas. A pageantry that crosses generations. A pageantry that, unlike Christmas and Easter, a pageantry that has yet to spread very far beyond the church family. Not too many visitors yet. The theologically jam-packed plea that came from the little girl, the angel on the fringe. The plea would just as easily hang in the air today here, Palm Sunday. "Hey, let Jesus show." To be fair, the gospel text has its share of pageantry, really. Here in Matthew, not one animal, but two. Matthew's script includes a part for a prophet, a voice from the Old Testament that alludes to promise and fulfillment. It's not just branches that are spread, but jackets too. And the disciples join in, and then the crowd singing the most familiar of hymns, "Hosanna in the highest." But remember that Matthew wants you to turn and to look, to step off the curb and stretch to see all the way down the street to Jerusalem. When he entered Jerusalem, Matthew writes, the whole city was in turmoil. The whole city was stirred up. Matthew's word for turmoil here, it's really more than turmoil. The whole city was trembling. The city was shaking. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city shook. like when Jesus breathed his last there on the cross and the earth shook and the rocks were split and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Standing next to the Palm Sunday parade, looking all the way to Jerusalem, and the trembling there points you right to the shaking that is yet to come at Golgotha. Turmoil doesn't quite cut it. In Matthew's story, Jesus finally arrives in the city of Jerusalem, and there was an earthquake. Who is this? Is what everyone asks. The people in the city have no idea. Who is this? They said. But Matthew expects you to know. When you stretch to sea on Palm Sunday, when you let Jesus show, when you turn and look where Matthew wants you to look, you ought to see the Messiah. The child Joseph named Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You ought to see Emmanuel, which means God with us. You ought to see the one baptized by John as the voice from heaven said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." You ought to see the teacher, the one to whom Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Because this triumphal entry started long before Palm Sunday. And when Matthew stretches you to see, and with the turmoil there in the city, the shaking, the earthquake, when Matthew points the way, you have to see all the way to the cross. To the cross. Let Jesus show. Frederick Buechner reflects upon the little girl's proclamation, "Let Jesus show." "Let Jesus show," he writes, "not just Jesus as we cut him down to size in our sermons and the hymns we sing and the stained glass windows in our churches, but Jesus as he sat there among his friends with wine on his breath and breadcrumbs in his beard and his heart in his mouth. He spoke about his death and ours. And he spoke in words that even that 9-year-old angel would have understood. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. On Palm Sunday, let Jesus show, even only with his back to you and the cross just beginning to come into view. It's not easy to see. Let us not kid ourselves. As Buechner himself laments, there is so much for all of us that hides Jesus from us. The church itself hides him, he argues. All the hoopla of church, with ministers as lost in the thick of it as everybody else, so that the holiness of it somehow vanishes away to the point where services of worship run the risk of becoming only a kind of performance. On some Sundays better, on some Sundays worse. Ouch. That's going to leave a mark. But he's right. There's so much that blocks our view. And then you toss in Holy Week / Spring Break. And all of us, we're something less than angels on the fringe. And it's really not all that easy to see, even when you stretch, to see Jesus and his cross, I mean. To ponder the Messiah and this parade to a death on the cross for the sins of the world. To come face to face with the love of God, with a God who so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son. To look there at the cross of Jesus Christ and right then and there, see God. Let Jesus show. Look solely unto Jesus Christ. That's how Dietrich Bonhoeffer puts it. Look solely unto Jesus Christ. Bonhoeffer continues, only they will see God who in this life have looked solely unto Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They shall see God, whose hearts have become a reflection of the image of Jesus Christ. And the image to see today, if only if you really stretch, the image to see is that of Jesus heading to Jerusalem, the city that trembles. Jesus with his back to you. And there in the distance, on the horizon, you can just barely see the cross upon which he will die for you. And that's where you will see God. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Amen.